First part, the first story we've heard. Now, children, sometimes things happen when you're very young that you never, ever forget. Sometimes. And sometimes, if you pay attention, the preacher says something that you never, ever forget. So eyes up, because I might just say, ooh, and you'll never forget that I said it. I remember when I was very, very young, a television program. And this is it.
You have at least 9 months left, perhaps as much as 18.
But the first doctor gave me from 1 to 2 years.
I hope he's right. What are you going to do?
Well, I have no family. Haven't taken a day off since law school. Guess I'll try to squeeze 30 years of living into one or two.
Does anybody remember that? Am I the only one? It was in colour. Every one of the 86 episodes was in colour. Not that I watched it in colour. Paul Bryan, the character that was played by Ben Gazzara, he was a lawyer, and he was given between 9 and 18 months to live. And the doctor said to him, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to cram 30 years of living into one or two. And he went on the run, running away from the news that he'd been given, trying to find the meaning of life. Does anybody know the meaning of life? Jesus, 42, thank you very much. All right, all those. That's what he was after. Amazing, on the run. And because he didn't have any family and he had lots of money and he closed his business up. So it was all kind of free. Nobody else was going to get hurt by this. And what he discovered on the run was that the meaning of life came to him when he ran toward people, as it were, and helped them out in their problems. Stopped running away from the news that he'd been given and started running toward people to be good for them. He met lots of people in all kinds of situations, and every week there was this kind of interaction with the goodness that he brought them and how he helped them in life, giving his life away that others may live. Now, strangely, for a story about a man who only had 2 years to live, this story ran for 3 years on the telly. And the reason I really remember it, that it was always on a Friday night viewing. And what did we all eat, everybody, well, if you're my age, what did we all eat on a Friday night? Fish and chips. So we'd go down to the chip shop and we'd get our fish and chips and we would sit around our little table in the lounge and the telly was in the corner and we would watch Run For Your Life. All 86 episodes. We watched it in black and white, even though every one of them was made in colour. And the reason I remember it the most, I must have been about your age. How old are you? Eight?
11.
Oh, I was much younger than you. I was about 8 or 9. The reason I remember it the most is that we were sitting there on the very last episode, eating a fish and chips, engaged with this man on Run For Your Life. And all of a sudden, our little telly in the corner went, never to come on again. It was an ex-telly. And I never knew and still don't know what happened to your man who ran for his life. That's the truth. That's a true story. Now, there is more running. Thank you very much. We'll have the next slide. There's more running in this story in John's Gospel than there is in all of the Gospels put together. This is the moment where there's more running about. And it starts with Mary, who's gone to the tomb and discovered, what did she discover, Jonathan, that it was? Empty, very good. That was an easy, easy chocolate there, wasn't it? You don't need one, very good. It's currency, mate. It's currency amongst your friends. So she ran to tell the disciples. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know. What didn't they know? What they've done with him. Yeah, she didn't know. Isn't that interesting? That Mary was on the run. Why was she running? I would have to say that's not the right answer there, Evie, but... Ah! It was urgent news. It was important. Say it with me. It was important. Very good. Important. Now, what I want to ask us all is, what's urgent in our life? What's urgent in your life? Your birthday. Would that make you run for your birthday? It would, okay. Go on. Who? Food is important. You might run for food, yeah? Run for your life. So if there was danger, if your life was in danger, Ethan, you might run, as this man was kind of running to try and get away from his own death. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to give you a chocolate for that. Well done. Here we are. Catch. Woo! You've got to share these with your sisters, by the way. You're getting so many. Good man. Or we could run to tell. We might have something so important that we run to tell it. Now, the interesting thing about Mary is that she didn't know the message she had to tell. What was the message she had to tell? That Jesus is gone. They have... Oh, not you again. That's a one hand. What about some of these older children over here? What was the message? They have... No, no, that's not what she said. She didn't say that. She said... Yeah, go on.
They've taken my Lord and I don't know where they
are. They've taken my Lord and don't know where they have put him. Now, is it possible then, is it possible, sisters and brothers, that we think we have to know the whole gospel story before we begin to tell a bit of it? Yeah. Are there times, perhaps, when we run away from the possibility of telling our story because we think we ought to know more? Mary didn't know the first thing about the gospel, but she told what she could make of it. It's an empty tomb. They've taken my Lord away, and we don't know where they've put him. Well, Mary told Peter and John. We think it's John. It was called the other disciple, because I think John was being a bit humble in writing the gospel. He didn't want to say, me, so he wrote the other disciple, whom Jesus loved. Anyway, we think it's John. And who's the fastest runner here? Okay, so Musa down the end and Evie stand at the end. Down the end of the yeah. Come on, little Evie. Yours were the first two hands up. Down there. Easter Bunny versus the rainbow. Together, by the back chairs. That's it, that's it, that's it. On your marks. Right, on the finish line, okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah. On your marks. Get set. Go! Oh, what? Here we go. Well, you've had enough. You've had enough chocolate. So, there's a faster runner. Now, what John got there first? Was he better because he got there first? No, he was just quicker because he was younger. And Peter, who's an old man like me, came running up behind. There they are. Yeah. John got there a bit before. Why did they run? Sorry? Well, they wanted to know. Why did they run? Come on, there's a chocolate on this one. Oh, well done, Evie. What was the answer? Because it was important. I thought you all said it. Why did they run? Right. They ran because it was important to see. And yet they didn't understand what they were going to see, did they? No, they didn't, Sophie. What did they see? An empty tomb. Hang on. What else did they see, gang, down the back? No. We had a big description of it. The grave clothes, yes. And how were the grave clothes? Folded up, spot on. Now, that's the strange thing, isn't it? If you're going to see an empty tomb where they have run off with the body, would you expect to see grave clothes? No, because they would have gone with the body. Why would you unwrap the body from the grave clothes? And would you expect those grave clothes, if they did unwrap the body, to be rewrapped and laid back where they were? No, it didn't look like anyone had stolen the body at all. It looked like Jesus' body had just disappeared. And the grave clothes were left like a balloon with the air gone out. It didn't make sense to them. And John, who had been outside, went in. He went in, and what did the verses say? He went in and believed. Oh, you can have a chocolate for that. He saw and believed. What did he believe? He believed what he saw. That's a. Well, you deserve a chockey just for that. He believed. Oh, yeah, that bit comes later. But he believed, well, maybe he believed that Jesus was alive. But that's not all there is to believe, is it? No, there's more to believe. Because Jesus didn't come back to life, didn't come to life again so he would die again. He was resurrected. He was back to life in a new way, such that he would never die. He was back to life in a new way, such as all of that death and oppression could be done away with, and the fullness of life lived, not just when we die, but now, in these times. Just like Paul Bryan, who ran for his life, a man who looked into the grave and found life. See, running to see, running to tell, these are the important things, and they kind of sum up the Christian life, really. But the thing is, like that television series, which for me never really ended, this story hasn't ended. There's more, and we're going to hear about that after we've sung these songs. But I can honestly say that when I was a boy, this was entertainment for us. Is that fantastic? There was a conversation in our office and some while ago, and I said, like the Keystone Cops. And my team looked at me with this. I had to look it up on the YouTube, and they went, that was fabulous, wasn't it? We loved it. The Keystone Cops, who taught us that running around doesn't always help. It's a bit like on a Thursday night in here, Matthew, we have to say sometimes, don't we? Stop running around because you fall over each other. And it's like just like that on a Thursday night in this place with our kids. Peter and John were running around not understanding what they were going to see. Mary was running around not understanding what she had seen. It was all a bit chaotic. But the next bit that Jonathan read for us so well, we heard that even in her not understanding, something good began to happen. Mary stood still outside the tomb crying. I wonder if we could learn a lesson from that, that stopping and being still gives God that chance to show us something about this world, about the realities in which we live. Because we're so busy rushing around, doing our own thing, thinking about all the stuff that we have to do, we can trip over ourselves, just like the Keystone Cops. But Mary, she stood there. So perhaps we could stop when we start the day, as it were. Give God 10 minutes of our time. Maybe when we lie down at night, we could review the day before God for 10 minutes. See where God is in the difficult things. Thank God for the good things. Your clergy meet every morning at 9 o'clock. For prayers. And we meet, we pray, we listen for God in the day. Show us where we need to be and what we need to be doing, O Lord. Mary stood there crying. See, there are times, of course, when standing and crying is all you can do, and that's okay. God can especially meet us in the sadnesses of life. But he doesn't leave us in the sadnesses of life. When Mary looked, she didn't just see the gravestones, did she? What did she see? When she looked into the tomb, No, she didn't just see the grave clothes. Samuel. Angel. How many? Two. What color were they? Oh, very good. One at the head, one at the foot. That was the next question. What colour were they, Jonathan? What colour were they? White. Well remembered. Oh, look. As Ma keeps... Mum's got a whole stack. She bent over and she saw two angels where the body had been. See, by not rushing away, she saw something of heaven. Even on earth, she saw something of heaven. And these angels asked her a great question. What was the question they asked her? Oh, there's too many hands here. No? It was that, yeah. It was that very question. And she said, my Lord, and I, very good. They've taken, I'll give you one later, give you a chocolate later. See, the thing with Mary was, as she was still looking back, we had in the prayers today a very apposite prayer about people who look into the wrong places for the answers. She looked back into the tomb, thinking she could find an answer. She looked back into the place of death and dying and decay, thinking she could find the answer for life. Steph spoke to us a little bit last week, didn't she, about if you feel grumpy with the service or the preacher or whatever else, don't speak badly of it in front of the children or in front of new people in church. Look for the things of life so that we can celebrate what's good. Because Mary at that time was still looking back and focusing on what's going wrong. So turn away from your self-centeredness. Turn away from your self-interest. And that's what happened with Mary, wasn't it? She turned round and saw a gardener. She thought it was a gardener. It was, in fact, Jesus. No, yes. My brother used to say to me, those who ask do not get, those who don't ask do not want. Which frustrated me, because I couldn't work out what the answer to that conundrum was. She didn't know it was him, because she hadn't turned far enough. She only turned a bit. Because with Jesus you have to turn all the way until we can see it clearly. Woman, why are you crying? He said to her. Same question, remember? But she has to turn further. Jesus said to her, Mary. He heard her voice. He heard his voice. She heard his voice. I'll get it. And then she cries out in that Aramaic language, Rabboni, which means, oh, well done, Noah. I thought you were never going to have a hand up there. But there it was. Teacher, well done. Because she had to turn to him all the way. Turn all the way, sisters and brothers, from your self-interest, away from the death to new life that it brings. So standing, taking time to see how things really are, and turning away from our own preoccupation of what's gone wrong towards Jesus, who gives us new life. See, it's not just that Jesus is alive. There's something really new happening here. And Jesus said it when he sent Mary to the disciples. He said, go to my brothers and tell them that I'm returning to my Father and their Father. In fact, the version I had read earlier on said, your Father. Not just Jesus' Father, but your Father. How amazing is that? That Jesus draws us into the same relationship he has with the Father, that we might know him as Abba. Yours and mine together. The God who can be known, loved, trusted, worshipped, because he's good. Nothing to keep us from knowing him. So Mary Magdalene goes back and says, I've seen the Lord. She has a special place as the apostle to the apostles. And she's a woman. Apostle to the apostles is a woman. If only we can stop like her. If only we can turn like her. Jesus will surely show himself to us and send us with good news for ourselves and our neighborhood. We too will be able to say, we have seen. Samuel